He's a dedicated genre hopper, writing and performing with his own original contemporary music projects, and as a sideman and a diverse range of musical luminaries from Australia and abroad. He's released albums with innovative trios such as Trio Apoplectic, Three of Millions, and the Pure Evil Trio, while also releasing an album of original works in a 1950s bebop style. He's here to talk about his latest trio release with the trio Felucca. Abel Cross, welcome to Now's the Time.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
Abel, you were a late bloomer, really, when it comes to certainly the double bass. You only started playing the double bass, I think, at the age of 21. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
What caused the initial spark for you with music and why jazz, I guess?
I've always been into music. I think it took me a little while to get to the correct instrument for me. Double bass isn't an instrument that kids get to very young, and my folks tried me out on the violin and the piano, and I absolutely hated both of them. And then a trumpet arrived when I was 7 years old, and I really loved the trumpet. You know, it was shiny and loud and all the things that young boys are into. And I got eventually into the bass guitar in my teens after hearing, you know, rock music, hearing bands like Nirvana and that sort of thing.
You're originally from Wollongong, aren't you?
Yeah, well, Newcastle, and then I did most of my growing up in Wollongong, Steel City lad. So I played in rock bands through my teens, and then it wasn't until I was, as you say, 20, 21, studying a science degree when I played my first double bass, and instantly I thought, no, this is for me. So I finished that science degree and immediately auditioned for Sydney Con, and off I went to do the jazz course.
And how is the science degree able to apply it anywhere in the field of jazz? Or
no, but I can annoy my bandmates while we're travelling and tell them about, you know, what cloud is that and what rock formation is that sort of thing.
Well, I'm sure that helps. Who in the history of Australian music do you admire the most?
That's such a big question.
It's a broad question, isn't it?
Well, definitely, you know, in the jazz fields, it's hard to go past Bernie. You know, Bernie's been a huge influence. You know, I'm a big fan of bebop music and, you know, loved his playing. He was, you know, one of the big names. And wherever you go, I do quite a bit of regional touring, and we've had some regional gigs on this tour. And everyone knows Bernie McGann. You know, he's had a huge influence on the music scene.
And, of course, your trio Apoplectic had the pianoless format as Bernie's trio.
That's right.
How difficult was it to sort of break out of the McGann mould with that trio and sort of form your own sound? Because you really did before it disbanded.
Yeah, we did our best to. I guess we've been exposed to different musics along the way, and they all inform the playing that you do. But I've got to be completely honest and say that the first few times that Dave and Alex and myself got together, before we even had a band, we were sort of hanging out and playing Spirit Song and, you know, playing some of Lloyd Swanson's charts that were on Bernie's album. So, yeah, we were just, at that stage, just trying to imitate rather than innovate.
The music of Felucca. Felucca, that's an Egyptian boat, isn't it?
Sailing ship. I've been told. Yeah. James actually came up with the band name.
Oh, okay.
And I'm not sure.
I pictured this this wonderful grand old sailing boat going down the Nile, and I'm thinking, okay, how does that then translate to this music, which to me is it's very dark music. Well, not very dark, but there's a certain darkness about this music. I mean, parts of it I'd even describe as being sort of gothic or, you know, sinister sort of undertones to it. And I mentioned Pure Evil at the top of the show as one of your other projects. Is this a sort of a theme that's coming out, this darkness you think that's emerging in what you do? I mean, I know there's a big cross-section in what you do, but any thoughts on that?
It could be. I've listened to some pretty extreme music over the years. I've also listened to some very, you know, happy, light music. But definitely, I mean, Felucca getting together was basically Paul Derricotte and I after a gig. I think we'd done a gig with Jess Pollard, actually, the singer from around here, and he just sort of dropped it on me. He's like, oh, you know, we should get together and do a band with some really nasty electric bass. And I said, that sounds fantastic. Let's do it. So at that stage, it was just the two of us, and James seemed like a good person to invite along, and that's how it stuck.
In relation to your bass playing on there, there's some incredible effects that you're creating as well. Mm. So I want to know how some of that's done. Maybe you can describe some of the process for that. Is it all playing, or is it some post manipulation of the sound, or?
All the manipulations done live. I think I maybe did one overdub in the whole record, and that's just for the bridge of a tune where I, laid a chorus effect on top of the chords I already had. All the playing's done through the instrument, and the bass I'm playing's a metal necked bass, which actually gives you a really broad frequency spectrum compared to a regular maple or rosewood bass neck. So you get quite a full sound, and when I play live, I've got a reverb unit which I use, and another sort of pitch shifting harmonizing pedal, and just a regular Ibanez Tube Screamer sort of distortion pedal. So it's not a big setup. There are some people out there who've got, a whole suitcase that they take on tour. Fortunately, mine fits in quite a small little container when I get on the plane.
Well, you're certainly using it very, very efficiently. We're going to take a track called 81, written by Paul, the drummer with the trio. And I must also mention James Loughnan, the saxophonist. He has quite a tender tenor sound, which is a good contrast to the real brawn that comes out of both your bass and Paul's drums. So it's an interesting mix, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
What can you tell us about 81?
81 is the year of Paul's birth.
Ah.
So it's a fine vintage. I'm not sure if it's as good as the 59, but we're not talking about Grangers.
We were earlier.
So yeah, I'm not sure what Paul's impressions are of that year, but that's where he got the title from.
Who are your major influences as far as the double bass is concerned? Because whilst you're playing the electric bass on this particular album, your jazz chops, and I know your neo bop quintet focuses heavily on the double bass.
Yeah, I think like most players, I've been into the Paul Chambers and Charles Mingus, Ron Carter, all those guys. But Charlie Haden was a huge influence on me for a very long time. And it took me a long time to get out of the habit of really trying to copy Charlie Haden licks all the time. But so much of the way he plays is his sound, and his sound is so unique to the instrument that he's playing, the Viome, and the way he plays it as well. It's pretty remarkable.
How conscious are you in performance mode to sort of approach everything you do with a level of originality that that doesn't reference some of these great artists that we tend to put on pedestals?
Yeah, it's a tricky one. I think as a player, you go through certain stages. I mean, talking about trio apoplectic before and the imitation phase of our playing. Yeah, I think you definitely go through a phase of doing that, and then you kind of understand what the processes are, whether they be melodic things or harmonic things behind some of the things that certain people play, and you begin to integrate that in your own playing, and hopefully after that, you begin to innovate and play your own things. But I think as long as you can sort of remain unconscious of exactly what you're going to play whilst you're playing, it's going to be okay. I mean, you hear about professional sports people talk about being in the zone. I think especially as an improvising musician, you just try and stay in that zone. I think once you start second guess what you're going to do on the bandstand, then you're in a bit of trouble.
As far as your musical ethos is concerned, we mentioned before that you certainly are a genre hopper. I mean, some of the names you've performed with, I think Holly Throsby is one, and a number of people from the jazz world, and also the world that sort of reaches beyond jazz. You've recorded with Three of Millions with Adrian Clampez and his outfit. What is your musical ethos when it comes to that? Is it, are you purposely going out, or you do have direct interests in a lot of variety of different genres?
Yeah, I think it's about just trying to be as present in every musical situation you find yourself in. And, we're exposed to so much music nowadays. We have access to so much, so many different styles from all over the globe. And as soon as they happen as well, it's not like, you've got to wait for the 78s to arrive at the one record store in Australia that stocks them. So I think, I certainly don't go out with any conscious intent of forging this or that path or trying to play a certain way. I just, as much as possible, try and, play music with my friends that we enjoy playing and hope that other people like it.
What have you got in your iPod at the moment that you're listening to?
I've been listening to a lot of a trio, Rebecca Martin, who's a singer over in the States, and she's got a fantastic trio with her husband Larry Grenadier playing the bass and Bill McHenry playing tenor saxophone. That's a really interesting combination for me.
Rebecca Martin, did she record with Paul Motian?
Yeah, she did. Yeah,
Yep, that's
and
right.
that's one of my favorite albums, Paul Motion on Broadway,
Yeah, that's right.
number four. Yeah,
Yeah.
amazing album.
I asked you, I think, nearly 5 years ago when I interviewed you for the Jazz and Beyond website, is there anything you'd like to change about the jazz scene in Australia and especially in Sydney? Now, your reply at the time was more of everything, more gigs, more festivals, more record labels, more musicians, and more action. To me, there seems to be more gigs than there was 5 years ago. How do you think the scene is tracking in that regard?
I think it's tracking quite well. It's great that Peter Reznesky stretched out and started his own club, and that scene was still going independently of him. And Cameron Auntie's got 505, and we've also got some the VJ's space up here on the north side, and
That's right.
a lot of smaller bars. The kind of place of public entertainment licensing changes have meant a lot of small bars have got, small local gigs happening, and that's a positive thing. But the one thing that I really notice, and I actually thought about it today consciously, the list for the Brisbane International Jazz Festival came out. Yeah, sort of. I was just in Melbourne this morning and reading this, and it's like, well, Melbourne's got this amazing international jazz festival, and now Brisbane has one, and
And Perth, Greg Ausby is going to be
that's
in
right,
Perth,
man.
and a whole bunch of other. I won't take the words out of your mouth, but what I feel when I read that is, why can't Sydney have the same thing?
Absolutely, yeah.
Look, I know we do pick them up along the way, but yeah, you're right. It would be good to have the festival here as well to international standard,
Absolutely. And
and.
ever since Darling Harbour folded, that was sort of the one thing that we had.
Well, it was developing, wasn't it? It was, I mean, it took them 20 odd years, but certainly the last 2 or 3 years, it was developing into a festival, an international standard. It kept raining.
Yeah, that's right. You can't do much about the
But pixelated mosaic.
weather. Well, I wrote this sitting at the piano. That's the way I do most of my writing nowadays. The whole Neo Bop album I did, I basically did on an electric bass, playing the same bass that Steve Swallow plays. So I think there was a lot of Steve Swallow influence getting into the writing on that record. But this was just sitting at the piano and, fifths in the left hand, which is about all I'm capable of with my left hand, and just heard this melody, and that's how it came out. And the title was inspired by a piece of art, a piece of sculpture that I saw, and I can't for the life of me tell you the name of that sculptor, but it was basically like a, if you think of like Beethoven's head, but it was sort of like a mosaic front,
Oh, okay.
sort of like a pixelated graphic, you might
So that's where the
say.
pixelated mosaic comes into play. Well, thanks very much for joining me in the studio tonight, Abel Cross, one third of Feluca.